American cotton farmers could hear this week whether the government subsidies they receive violate international trade rules. The World Trade Organization is expected to rule on Friday. A complaint against the U.S. policy was brought by Brazil, along with a dozen other countries and the EU. Meanwhile, in Washington today, a report was released that may further damage the position of U.S. cotton growers. That report says some big growers may be claiming more than their fair share of subsidy payments. NPR's John Burnett reports.
The dry prose of a congressional investigation comes alive 1,000 feet over the fertile Arkansas Delta. To the left, the mighty Mississippi snakes away toward Louisiana. Below, neat rows of soybeans look like green corduroy. Ahead, emerald green fields stretch to the horizon, interrupted by little steepled country churches.
Well, from where we are right now, about 80% of everything we're looking at for about 4 or 5 miles is controlled in some fashion by David Brooks Griffin.
The pilot is David Carruth, an attorney who was raised on a farm here in the Delta and who frowns on million-dollar subsidies. He's talking about David Brooks Griffin, with 30,000 acres, one of the biggest cotton farmers in the region.
He's definitely agribusiness. He's got 4 tractor dealerships, a chemical dealership, a fuel distribution business. He owns granaries. And over the nose is one of the largest cotton gins in Arkansas, which is David Brooks Gin.
The farming empire of David Brooks Griffin is at the center of what many believe is wrong with American farm policy and what others consider its unintended strength. Formerly known as Tyler Farms, Griffin's operation received almost $35 million in subsidies from 1995 to 2002, most of it for cotton. This is according to the Environmental Working Group, a consumer watchdog in Washington, D.C. Farm program rules are Byzantine, but in a nutshell, a single farmer is limited to a total of $180,000 in subsidies. The law allows him to divide his farm into multiple entities, each of which can collect a separate payment as long as they all meet the criteria of a farm. What David Griffin did was create a network of 66 separate corporate entities. In the Delta, they call that setting up a Christmas tree. David Carruth is out of the cockpit and sitting beside the White River, not far from his office in the town of Clarendon. Carruth used to work for a law firm that specializes in creating Christmas trees.
And I saw how they were set up, and the corporations, the LLCs, are just shells. They're nothing but an empty shell and a file in a file drawer that are there strictly to have a tax ID number and a legal existence to help the farmer to get as much money as possible.
Mr. Griffin declined to be interviewed. His attorney, Robert Serio, who specializes in organizing farm corporations, dissolved Tyler Farms last year and recreated it as 6 separate smaller partnerships. Serio says he did it because the farm was losing money. Critics say it was split up because of all the unwanted attention. Serio points out that his client did not pocket all the $35 million he received over 8 years. He shared it with the 30 farmers who lease his land.
All of my clients, all several hundred of them, are family farmers. They are people who live on or around that farm and work on that farm. They're not scattered in New York City or Chicago or any place else. They're in rural America. They live in little towns, and they're just trying to survive, and I'm helping them do that.
Some survive in more style than others. Griffin owns a private jet. And that's what rubs farm policy critics the wrong way. Originally created during the Great Depression to help struggling farmers, today 2/3 of U.S. crop supports go to agriculture's top 10%. Defenders say big farmers like Griffin deserve it because they plant more acres and raise more crops. Critics argue that Griffin should not need government help because he already enjoys an economy of scale. He can buy fuel, chemicals, and farm vehicles more cheaply than a smaller farmer can. But that's not the view from Elaine, Arkansas, not far from Griffin's handsome 2-story home. Lunchtime at the Delta Diner. Fried chicken, butter beans, and sour cream cake are on the buffet table. Steve Cannon sits chewing on a toothpick and ruminating over the state of American farming.
Without the government payment on cotton and rice, nobody'd raise it. How about that? They could.
Cannon farms 4,000 acres in Phillips County, which borders the Mississippi River. He says cotton and rice are the most expensive commodities to raise, requiring $400 an acre for things like fertilizer and pesticide.
If a guy's drawing 40 entities, what's the difference in him doing it or 40 people doing it and getting one entity each. It's the acres of crop that he's raising. And I don't see how you can discriminate against somebody just because they farm more acres. It's the American way to make your business larger. I mean, to farm more, to climb.
There's nothing wrong with being big, efficient farmers, but to some extent, people have gotten bigger because of the ability to farm the farm program.
Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa.
The people that get the large payments, even in the state of Iowa, are the ones that then can go out and run up the price of cash rent or the price of land that's going to be sold so that they get larger, and sometimes it keeps young people from getting started farming.
At a hearing today of the Senate Finance Committee, of which Grassley is chairman, he spotlighted the findings of a new report by the Government Accounting Office. The report does not mention David Griffin by name, but it questions whether a multi-unit farm operation that looks like Griffin's, and sources close to the report say is Tyler Farms, whether it borders on fraud. The GAO has referred the farming operation to the USDA Inspector General's office for further investigation. The report also scolds the Farm Service Agency, a branch of the USDA, for not effectively overseeing payments. Chuck Hassebrook, a longtime family farm advocate and director of the Center for Rural Affairs in Lyons, Nebraska, has read the report.
GAO found that in some cases, people who claim to be involved on a day-to-day basis on the farm making management decisions actually lived in different states 100 miles away. They found that some of the partners who claim to be active farmers did as little as participate in 2 phone calls over the course of a year.
This is only the latest government report that uncovers gaping loopholes in the farm payment program. 2 internal USDA reports and 2 earlier GAO reports reach similar conclusions. To wit, the rules are easily circumvented, the USDA is ill-trained and reluctant to investigate its farm clients, and consequently, the U.S. Treasury pays out millions more in crop subsidies. In the agency's defense, a USDA official says creative lawyers always stay a step ahead of the regulations, and it's up to Congress to strengthen the cap on subsidies. Agribusiness lobbyists and Farm Belt lawmakers frequently block stronger legislation. Gary Bach knows a Christmas tree when he sees one. The small farmer in Monroe County, Arkansas, sits on the county committee that must approve farming operations that seek federal payments.
For everyone that evades the limit, there's 20 farmers that do it right. You know, there's no way to defend it. I've seen it. I've seen the amounts of money that's going out to some of these guys.
Sitting outside his office, Bach watches the western horizon for signs of an approaching thunderstorm. He's worried about what hail might do to his $250,000 investment in his soybean and corn crop. Bach also collects subsidies, like every farmer and part-time farmer quoted in this report, including Senator Grassley, though none of them claim multiple entities.
But I'll tell you where it'll end up. They'll end up just cutting the subsidy and lowering the amount that everybody gets. It'll end up hurting me. Those guys don't ever touch them. They never get touched.
Do you think they're ripping off the government?
It's not illegal what they're doing. Now, is it right? No. It's legal.
John Burnett, NPR News.
Tomorrow, NPR's Martin Costi investigates the complaint about American subsidies filed by Brazil with the WTO.